The following content is intended for people who are blind or Brent impaired.
Engage.
You are listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm Chris Skidmore, and this is Tech Tips. Today we are talking about something that lands at the intersection of tech, accessibility, and real-world independence. It's called Here to There, a navigation aid that helps blind and low-vision users get that last 50 feet from the car to the door, and honestly, a whole lot more. I'm excited to dig into the story behind it, the tech that makes it work, and where it's headed next. Joining me today is David Furukawa, the co-founder and inspiration behind Here to There. Dave, welcome to the program.
Hi, Chris. Thanks. Great to be here.
Thanks for being here, man. I really appreciate your time. I can't wait to get in to talk about Here to There, but first let's find out about you. Who is David Furukawa?
I would not be the person I am today if I wasn't visually impaired. I have retinitis pigmentosa. I have had two lives, one as a medical practitioner. I'm a retired Emory University physician assistant, and I worked in ophthalmology for almost 20 years. But then about 13 years ago, a tragedy occurred that changed my life forever. I was walking my then four-year-old son to daycare, and a car ran a stop sign and hit me, it hit my guide dog, and was about to hit my son. And my guide dog, Simon, pushed my son out of the way and saved his life. So unfortunately, Simon died of his injuries, but the story went internationally viral. If you Google Simon the guide dog, hero guide dog saves boy, it'll come up. The point of it is, I was all buggered up in the hospital with broken bones to my elbow, my knee, and my foot. And a good friend of mine who's an electrical engineer from Vanderbilt, he comes in to the hospital. He goes, Dave, he goes, we have to come up with some type of technology that provides you with augmented information about the environment so you feel safe going back out in the real world. You know, obviously, PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, is a real, real deal.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, I had to admit, laying up there in the hospital going, my life is over, my dog is dead, you know, what am I going to do? And we brainstormed, and we came up with the idea of utilizing Bluetooth beacons to act as little small microtransmitters that you can put almost anywhere that communicate with a smartphone app that then reads aloud or speaks aloud the information that you input. It took us almost 10 years of doing all the vetting, all of the use case testing. You know, being a startup entrepreneur is definitely not an easy process. It's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. But we even took this technology on a music cruise that I know you are very near and dear to, called the Rock Boat.
Yeah.
And we put beacons all over the ship, and I was able to maneuver throughout the ship all by myself with nobody guiding me or leading me around. You know, they'd say, you are at the Stardust Theater, and the schedule of bands is this, 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 and this. So it was crazy, and it showed that our solution worked.
So you pretty much used the Rock Boat as a proof of concept.
Yes, it was fun, and it was also we gleaned technical, you know, experience and statistical information. So yes.
That is awesome. So for someone who has never used it, how would you describe Here to There in the simplest everyday terms?
We are not a navigation app. So a lot of people think, you know, we're part of that whole IRA, seeing AI, you know, all that. We are basically providing you with a virtual sign or a mental map. So, you know, sighted people, when you go into a new environment, you scan and almost instantaneously you take in the sights. So you know what's here, you know, what's in front of you, what's behind you, what's to the sides. And you make that mental map almost instinctively immediately. But for those of us that are visually impaired, you know, we either can't do it or it's very difficult and takes a lot longer. So what we do is we fill in those spaces by describing the environment. So say, for instance, let's just use a bathroom as a good example, right? I mean, okay. I hate going into public restrooms because they're all different. Everything's always in a different location. You don't want to touch anything, especially a person.
Yes. Yes. That, right? that could land you in trouble if you're not careful.
I have
careful.
Gotten more dirty looks, I'm sure, because I touched somebody's shoulder or back and they're like, yeah. What are you doing, dude?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But at any rate, you put a beacon over the entranceway to a bathroom. So basically the beacon has proximity based information. So it'll guide me to that beacon. So it'll guide me to the bathroom. It'll tell me, is this the men's or the women's bathroom? You can then hit what's the layout. So then it would, you'd say the sinks are immediately on the right. The stalls are immediately on the left and the urinals are straight ahead. That alone is like game changing as far as a blind person understanding, you know, immediately when you walk in the door, what's what, right? Yeah. And then, of course, it goes, the soap dispenser is attached to the wall in front of the sink. The paper towel dispenser is on the left side and the trash can is immediately on the right side next to the sink. That is one thing that annoys me to no end is I can never find the trash can. And 9 times out of 10, and I probably shouldn't say this online, but I just throw the paper towel on the floor because I can't find the freaking trash can.
Yeah.
That just goes to show you that what we're doing is we're providing spatial awareness. Mm-hmm. So really what we're doing is we're creating this map in your head. So then you have to use your mobility skills. We're not replacing orientation and mobility cane skills. We're not replacing your ability to listen, you know, to an environment and try to determine what's safe and what's not safe. We're expecting you to at least have some semblance of, you know, safety and O&M skills already, but we're providing you with that AR or augmented reality type of information that then, you know, fills in all those gaps.
And knowing the layout of where you're going is just as important as getting there.
Well, I mean, think about it. When you get out of a car, somebody drops you off, or you get out of a rideshare, Uber or Lyft, or you get off the bus, that 50 feet is like freaking no man's land for somebody like me, because there's any of a number of different obstacles that could be in your way, whether it's stairs going up or down, mm-hmm. whether it's people, whether it's a telephone pole or a trash can, you know, anything.
Yeah.
So we can actually project that information to the user through the smartphone app so that you know when you get out of the the vehicle that I have to maneuver around this. I have to go up steps and then the door is immediately on the left. And what if there's a button you have to push to actually, you know, communicate with the person for security purposes? You know, a blind person would never know that's there.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't there also a feature in the app that will tell you how far away you are from that beacon?
Yes. So as part of like the proximity or homing type of functionality, we have the ability to provide either a beeping type of sound, which gets faster the closer you get to the beacon, or we, at least in the past, had the ability to provide you with ranging information in meters, how close or how far away you were from the beacon. So hopefully, if you were ranging and looking at it, you know, you would see that the number is getting smaller and smaller the closer you get to the beacon. Now, that's not a precise process because Bluetooth signal is such that it just bounces off mm-hmm. everything.
Yeah.
So you have to take averages, but It's still better than nothing.
Yeah, it's better knowing that you're 3 meters away instead of 30.
Amen.
The website talks about giving people awareness of exits, elevators, and things like that inside of a building. What is that experience like for the end user?
When you are familiar with a space, you feel confident. You feel comfortable. You don't have to worry that, I'm going to trip, make myself look foolish or hurt myself, right? So GPS, as great as it is, GPS was like sliced bread. It was the greatest invention that ever was, right? But it does have its limitations. And of course, mm-hmm. it does not provide you with audio descriptive information necessarily. And its range is very limited. It's probably accurate to about maybe 300 to 500 feet, which could get you to a city block or, close, but not close enough. So, from the perspective of our technology, we are getting you there, but then we're getting you even closer by providing you with all of the quote unquote extraneous descriptive information that's of help.
You're listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service.
We're talking with David Furukawa of Here to There, and David, now I want to talk about the tech behind the app. How do the beacons work with the app to guide you to the beacon?
This is actually a very cutting-edge, sophisticated system in which the smartphone app, which my other co-founder, Chris Webb, completely developed the app from scratch all on his own. He's a code genius, by the way.
Bless his heart.
Oh yeah. But the smartphone app communicates with any of a number of hybrid types of microtransmitters that we have deployed or installed in various locations. So that could be GPS geofencing, which of course is like Google Maps, Apple Maps, all those other navigation type of systems, which of course require a cellular or Wi-Fi data connection for it to work, by the way. Mm-hmm. And our system does not rely completely on that. So anyway, the app communicates with either a GPS geofence, a Bluetooth beacon, which has a range down to about 3 feet, and then ultra wideband tags, which is a newer type of beacon type of device, which can get you to within 10 centimeters of a location, and that's almost pinpoint.
Exactly.
You can actually put that on your backpack or such. Or we also are using NFC tags, which basically is what they use in, say, museums or the like, where you actually have to touch the tag, and then it actually gives you that information. Once the app recognizes the microtransmitter identifying number, then it actually is correlated in our back-end database, which then projects whatever information has been input. Now, the organizations that deploy this type of technology, and that's usually the retail outlets, municipal government entities, public transit, they have access to a web portal called a partner portal, which gives them the ability to then modify any of the data associated with those micro locations or beacon locations in real time. So they can change anything, whether it's a menu item or it's a bus schedule or a music festival schedule. So it's really completely versatile and multifunctional.
That is awesome. And then that leads right into my next question, which is, what are some of the other things that the app and the beacons can do to support someone with little to no vision?
Obviously, I was the test guinea pig when we were developing all of this. So I was the one that said, hey, I want this and I want that. And Chris tried to do as best he could to accommodate me. So route planning is probably one of the biggest things they teach you in orientation and mobility training, right? You have to know where you're going, how you're going to get there. Once you get there, how you're going to leave, and how are you going to get home? So we have a function called the nearby, which basically allows you to preview any HQT locations that are accessible within a certain mile radius of where you are. The default is 5 miles. So if there are any HQT locations within your area, it's going to show them. And from that list, you can select and you can preview those locations anywhere. So you could look at those at home. You could go, okay, I want to go to Taco Mac, which is a sports bar that has good hot wings.
Okay.
So you could look at the menu, preview the menu from home before you even left. Go, oh, yeah, I want this sauce and I want that sauce. You could also preview if there's any specific obstacles that they might be telling you about, you know, when you're approaching their restaurant. Or you could look at the, you know, that the hours of operation, it has the telephone number, anything. You can preview all that from the app itself. And then as you're going on your way, you can look at it in real time as well.
It's amazing how the app can benefit both the blind and low vision end user and the business.
This is a great marketing and advertising tool for the retail and or organizational leadership, because what they don't realize is that the disabled community at large, there's over 3 billion disabled people in the world. And that, you know, of course, includes the blind and visually impaired, but that's people like with cognitive disabilities, that's early dementia, autism, dyslexia. That's people that are deaf. That's people that are mobility, you know, impaired, in wheelchairs and the like.
We were talking off air, and you mentioned that globally about 1.3 billion people live with a significant disability. Basically, that's one out of every six people living on the planet. And when you factor in the folks who help make buying decisions, that includes family, friends, caregivers, that circle jumps to almost 3 billion people. And here's the part that businesses tend to miss. Together, that community has more than $8 trillion in spending power.
So that means that we, the disabled, hold a very, very powerful financial
piece of the pie.
Resource. Exactly.
Yeah, a lot more than people realize.
And we are so underappreciated and so undermarketed that, you know, it's a win-win for any type of business that wants to, you know, potentially grow their customer base. And as you know, the blind and visually impaired are super loyal to their, you know, to their favorite locations.
Oh, yeah.
And you bring your friends and your family, mm-hmm. and it just grows and grows and grows. So this is a win-win for everybody involved.
Exactly. We've been talking about how the Here to There app, as it relates to someone who is blind or has low vision. Now, let's flip the tables a little bit and talk about Here to There from the other side. And what does it take for a business or organization to get their space H2T ready?
We designed this whole system such that it was going to be inexpensive. It was going to be very easy to install, and it was going to be very low maintenance in terms of having to do anything with the technology or with inputting data. And probably the biggest and most important was that there's no cost to the user. So we wanted to make this free for the user, but then in order to make it appealing to the organizations, we basically found the least expensive type of tech, which is the Bluetooth beacon. So it amounts to about $1 a day, $360 a year, for us to essentially provide you with the hardware, provide you with the ability and the access to the web portal and our back-end data servers, And then, of course, all of the marketing and advertising features that we can then provide to the owners.
And that does lead into my next question, which was once they're set up, what's the easiest way for them to keep things updated so users always get the most accurate and up-to-date information?
It really, 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 and I stress, promotion of the presence or the deployment of our technology to their customer base or to their constituents is so, so valuable. If people don't know that this type of technology is available, mm-hmm. then it's not being used. So it's really not any value. But if the organizations say, hey, we're accessible. Hey, we have this technology for the blind and visually impaired. You know, if you promote it both in your store, you promote it on your website, you do, you know, whenever you're doing any sort of advertising, you go, hey, we are friendly to the BVI community. That's where this really starts to really kind of blend in seamlessly. And then people start using it and then more people start using it. What we're trying to do is we're trying to develop what we call H2T or here to there brand ambassadors. So essentially what we want to do is we want to get people like your readership, your listeningship, to go to the places they frequent, talk to the management or the owners and go, look, there's this technology out here that could really make my life simpler, but also benefit you, the business owner. Would you mind, you know, having H2T contact you? The long and the short of it is, the more of this that gets out, the better.
Exactly. One of the cool things that I like about this is that the app lets users preview a venue before they even arrive. How does that feature help someone plan their trip or reduce anxiety about navigating a new or unfamiliar space? And for someone who is not blind or visually impaired, why is that important?
Again, it goes back to the whole route planning associated with orientation and mobility. Being able to actually plan your day before you even leave the house, where you go, okay, well, I have to catch the bus. So H2T now has the ability to incorporate bus schedules. And actually, the GPS coordinates can provide you with the location of bus stops. So then you can actually locate the bus stop. Mm-hmm. So you can look at the bus schedule and say, okay, I need to be at the bus stop at this time. And then you go, okay, I want to go to the doctor. So I'm going to this hospital or this, you know, medical clinic. And then, oh, I'm going to go out to eat afterwards. So then you go, I'm going to go to this restaurant. And then, oh, I need to go to the bank and make a deposit. So then you look at the most accessible H2T accessible bank. And then, oh, I need to go to the grocery store and pick up some groceries before I go home. And then finally, you know, then you would go back to the bus stop, look at the bus schedule, and boom, you're back home.
And
makes your life so much simpler.
And a lot
if you know.
Exactly. And a lot less stressful.
Yes.
And it's funny. I hear you talking about putting a beacon at the bus stop sign. And I start to wonder, can you put a beacon on the actual bus to indicate where the door is?
100%. We are partnered with a company called Passio Technologies, which basically monitors and tracks bus and public transit systems around the country. And, you know, you can put a beacon on, quote unquote, each bus or vehicle. So, you know, you're getting on the correct bus. And then potentially from the app, then it should actually tell you when you're approaching the next stop. So say I'm approaching Shore Street or North Avenue. So you know which that, because, you know, let's be honest, public transit, the drivers, sometimes you can't hear or understand what they're saying when they're speaking it over the intercom system.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you miss your stop, that's a problem. In a perfect world, our system should be able to allow anyone to enter a new environment and feel at least some level of comfort and safety. And that's the whole point, is complete independence without relying on somebody else.
And that is the holy grail for not just visually impaired people, but all disabled people in general.
Amen.
Let's take this to the next level. Let's say hypothetically that an end user has experienced here to there somewhere other than where they live and would like to get H2T in their community. What are some steps they can take to get the ball rolling?
I don't know if your listening ship has heard of it's a growing movement called the smart city model, where essentially utilizing tech, all sectors of a community combine and they work together to communicate. Essentially, if you get all of those groups to start providing accessibility on a large scale, then you've got a giant grid in which for not only the blind and visually impaired community, but everyone to be able to utilize that type of information, and that's where the value comes in.
Where are some places right now where people can experience here to there?
We said, let's focus on five large cities. So Atlanta, which is where our home company started from, we deployed in the city of Newton, which is one of the suburbs of Boston. We have been targeting the city of Austin, Texas, where we have beacons at the Texas School for the Blind and other retail spots in Austin. The city of Los Angeles, in particular, one of the suburbs called West Covina, where we know the mayor, his name is Ole Cantos. And then we have Greenville, Spartanburg, South Carolina. Now, with that being said, we have beacons in a lot of other locations. Like, we just put beacons in the Mecklenburg County, which is one of the areas of Charlotte, yeah, North Carolina. We did one of their large parks, and we're going to be increasing that in the coming months.
How can people learn more about Here to There?
So our website is very simple. It's www.h2t, you know, letter H, number two, letter T.com. And then, of course, become a H2T ambassador and, you know, help us spread this technology so that it aids you, but it aids everyone around you.
And on that note, I am going to say thank you very much for your time. It was appreciated.
Thank you, Chris.
If you're ready to dive deeper into Here to There or want to step up and become an ambassador, head over to h2t.com to get started. You can also reach the team directly. Their email address is info@h2t.com. As a reminder, Here to There is spelled H-E-A-R, the number 2, T-H-E-R-E. And a huge thank you to David Furukawa for sharing his time and insight. It's truly appreciated. We've run out of time for this month's episode of Tech Tips. I hope you've enjoyed it. If there's something you'd like covered in a future episode, send an email to techtipspodcast@gmail.com. I'm Chris Skidmore for the North Carolina Reading Service. Tech Tips is available online by visiting our website at ncreadingservice.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. If you have questions or comments about the North Carolina Reading Service, visit us online at ncreadingservice.org or give us a call. Our telephone number is 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service.